You're listening to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer. Now live in the studio, local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, the Saturday, September 15th show. I am Tina Mitchell, the mortgage diva, and sitting to my left is my co-host, the mortgage master, Mike Mercer.
That's right.
Thank you for taking time with us today to talk money. Mike and I are here every Saturday on AM 1090 at 3 p.m. Whether you're retired or just starting out, you'll learn something about money right here today. Mike, why don't you introduce who we have in studio today, because it is all about girl power.
It is. I'm very excited to have our guests here today. The two guests that we're going to be having today, the first is going to be Kim Thomas. And Kim has been in real estate here in the market for about 19 years. And not only does she work with, you know, your typical owner-occupied transaction, but she's been working recently a lot with investors. So whether they're a new investor or a seasoned investor, Kim's going to kind of talk about how that whole thing works.
Make some money on investment property.
Absolutely.
Who's our second guest?
Our second guest is a dear friend of mine, Andrea Jacoby. And Andrea works with Windermere Property Management, and she's been working with them for over 15 years. And pretty impressive. She has her personal portfolio of homes that are under her management is over 115. So she's going to talk about, you know, what goes into property management and who should be looking to hire a property manager.
Yeah, and if only people could see, we actually have some good-looking women in studio.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. And let's get right into Money Chat. What do you have for Money Chat today, Mike?
Well, this was an article that was in the Seattle Times, and the title of the article caught my attention. How to Avoid a Low Home Appraisal. And obviously, we can speak on this firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
We've had deals that have been delayed, or actually deals that have completely fallen apart because of appraisals. But basically, in the gist of the article, it talked about, you know, even as buyer confidence climbs, the local housing market still faces a really tough reality, and that is appraisals are falling short of what many buyers are willing to pay. You know, it's a problem that has been weighing down home prices and stalling what could be a more robust recovery. So, you know, we've seen this even properties right now, and our agents in here today with us will even talk on this as well, is that, you know, we're seeing multiple bids on homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's becoming more common. So let me quote, people don't realize that it's getting better and don't realize that what we have could be even better. And this person was talking about the real estate market. And this was a gal named Marty Esty, a sales agent with Remax. And basically, she has had, you know, deals almost nearly fall through every single month. So that's what she was basically, you know, speaking to. And then, of course, the National Association of Realtors reports that more than one third of agents surveyed during April said that a low appraisal led to either a cancellation, a lower price, or a delay in the sale of a home during the previous 3 months. So kind of interesting. And the article had talked about this guy named Eric Humphrey, who was a seller, and he was extremely frustrated because of the low appraisals that were coming in, almost killed the sale of his house. You know, so his biggest question, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners ask this question as well, is, you know, who sets the price? You know, the market or the appraiser? You know, and isn't something worth what somebody is willing to pay for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a common question we get, right? But in the end, you know, Eric's agent basically had to appeal the low appraisal and was able to provide enough comparable closed sales to show that the house was worth more than the initial appraisal. But, you know, many sellers aren't as lucky. So that's kind of...
I think that's a good point, Mike, where you mentioned... So if you're listening today and you're in the middle of buying a property, or you're in the middle of refinancing, if your appraisal comes in low, it's important to understand that you as a consumer, you do have the ability to appeal the process. So you want to make sure that you ask to have an appeal submitted. A little bit more challenging than it would back in the day before the Dodd-Frank Act, because to protect the consumer, now the lenders, you and I, Mike, as the mortgage consultant, can't directly talk with the appraiser. The lender can't talk with the appraiser. It's all through a management company. But as a consumer, you have the right to appeal. Now, when you appeal, you have to have comparables to back up why you feel the value is actually there, because an appraisal is always an opinion, and the opinion may not be in your favor, and you just need to fight it and see, you know, if you can come up with better comparables.
And you know what's interesting is that we're not too shocked to see maybe appraisals come in low when we're trying to do refinances for clients, right? That's something that's been pretty common, but it's really,
you always think the value is a little bit better than it is.
Of course. But it's really shocking was when it's a purchase deal, right? And somebody's willing to pay a certain amount for a property, and then the appraisal comes in low.
And you have two expert realtors on both sides of the transaction that believe the value is there. So usually, usually there needs to be an appeal in place, and you know, usually the experts on the real estate side know what the value is.
That's right. And just real quick, you know, the article went on to talk about how appraisers are, you know, arguing and saying that their hands are tied. You know, the rules issued after the housing crisis have put appraisers under a lot of scrutiny from lenders. Not only do the appraisals require more documentation, which of course we're used to that problem as well, there are also fewer comparable sales to support the higher prices.
You know, and that's true, Mike. And I think that's a good point to bring in is, you know, the appeal process, you want to go through the appeal process, but you have to have backup. You have to have comparables, properties that have physically sold, located similar in the same area, same style. And if you don't have the comps to back it up, the value's not there. If you have the comps to back it up, then you have something to possibly appeal with.
Right. And we know that, look, it's not a surprise that the foreclosures and the short sales have really played a huge impact on this, right? And these, you know, those distressed sales in those neighborhoods.
Unfortunately brought it down.
Yep. So, but, you know, there's also a concern that appraisers chosen through third-party companies, which is what you just talked about, don't have enough expertise with the local market to assign a fair value to the home. And agents also say appraisers are trying to retain, you know, a good relationship with the lenders they work with by providing appraisals that are very conservative, thereby kind of limiting the lender's risk. How do you feel about that?
I don't agree with that part of the article at all. I think that, you know, because a lender is not choosing the appraisers anyways. I mean, they're all, except for your mortgage banker, and Cobalt Mortgage is a mortgage banker, so we do get to choose the panel of appraisers, but it's not based on the level of what they're supporting the values at. I mean, it's you know, the value's either there in the property or it's not, and I think they're having issues coming up with comparables.
It's a little contradictory, right? Because what will happen is the banks, when they've owned an asset, a house that have come, you know, they've taken over, they'll actually have a real estate agent go out and do a BPO, which is a broker price opinion, right? They're relying on that agent who specializes in that particular area to go out there and tell them what they think that house is worth. But yet when it comes to a regular transaction that's just being written up, the appraisers are going out there and at sometimes just hammering these values. And you'd think that, you know, you've got two professional agents that are involved in the transaction that they would be able to come up with what they think the property is worth.
Sure.
So it's just kind of interesting. But in closing, Jonathan Smoke, who is the executive director of Hanley Wood Market Intelligence in Washington, D.C., actually said that the effects of the housing bust are driving much, obviously, of this caution. Since the downturn, I think appraisers... This is to quote him. I think appraisers have been acting conservatively at the best of the lenders and the government, he said, noting that mortgage underwriters won't forget the billions of dollars that were lost in the housing collapse. So in the end, he was saying, given the importance of a stable home finance environment to our economy, no one should blame appraisers for being conservative. And I probably would agree with that, but I think that they need to come back to that conservative reality, and I think oftentimes they're still kind of off in left field.
Yeah, and I think it's just remember it's an opinion, and it depends on your market that you're in. And most of our markets here locally, at least in the Seattle area, there's tons of comps out there, so it's not as challenging coming up with value. And again, if the value's not there, if you've got the comparables, just go through the appeal process with your mortgage consultant and make sure they're taking that next step. Great information, Mike. Last thing on Money Chat I wanted to bring in, Fannie Mae closes first REO bulk deal. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Diane Olick on CNBC.
We have the first winning bidder in the government's REO, that is foreclosure bulk deal sale program from Fannie Mae. Pacific Company, that's based in San Diego, California, it's a privately held real estate investment manager, has won that first deal for 699 foreclosures in Florida that it bought for $81.5 million. Now, what's really interesting about this first deal, it's part of the big pilot program, is that they paid 95.8% of the recent value
There's
of these
the
properties. So the FHFA, that is a conservator of Fannie and Freddie, the government got a pretty good deal selling these
the
properties
government keeps
to
getting
Pacifica,
a great deal.
Which is this investment company. Now, this bulk program was launched in February by Fannie and Freddie to sell 2,500 foreclosures that they have on their books to investors. It has been a very long process with the bidding very difficult. A lot of the investors we've spoken to and we've reported on over the past several months have said that it was a very difficult process, but finally got the first winner and the first closing on 699 Florida properties. Again, 2,500 in this pilot program, so we'll see who gets them next. But this is really interesting for the market to see that they got that much of the value, 95.8% of the most recent appraised value on these homes.
And the Obama administration and federal regulators are close to a plan to sell the investors the billions of dollars of foreclosed properties on the book for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA, according to the administration officials. You heard it, a way to help the nation's housing crisis and the backlog of our REO, real estate-owned properties by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the other government agencies. The FHFA, Federal Housing Finance Agency, launched the pilot program in February of this year, and the plan was to offer for sale previous foreclosure properties in bulks to investors. Now, these bulk property sales are to investors as rentals. So as the purchase was, the idea was to bulk them in 50 to 500. You can see this one was actually $699 per deal. And the government-sponsored enterprises and FHA own just under a quarter of a million foreclosed properties. But with the foreclosure delays, this created a huge backlog, unable to be processed out to the market. So I think it's a really good opportunity to help with some of this crisis. And we've talked many times on the show about shadow inventory. So I think this is going to help with the shadow inventory, those properties that are just stuck back there, just waiting to hit the market. Now, if you're listening, I don't think it's really an investment opportunity for you or myself, but offered to the big investors out on Wall Street. So the initial thought was that these properties would be purchased at a deep discount. Ironically, some of the same companies that got us into the mess that we're in today are getting these huge opportunities, but not quite such a deal. As you heard, it was 699 foreclosure properties in Florida, 95.8% of the recent value. So a lot less of a deal than they initially thought when they were talking about this at the beginning of the year. So FHFA will announce the winning investors for properties in other areas upon closing of the transaction. That's going to be coming in our coming weeks. And all properties that were sold near or above market value, so it's going to be similar to our first sale that we've seen here. However, the 541 properties in Atlanta were not awarded. Georgia holds the highest foreclosure rate in our country. So that's Money Chat, Mike.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it's time to get on with our show. And before we do that, if you're listening, have you ever wondered what it would be like to wake up in the morning with enough money coming in that you could do whatever you wanted for that day? Well, you won't want to miss out. Coming up next on the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer is Kim Thomas with Windermere, and she's here to talk about the investment opportunity in our local real estate market right here in the Northwest.
Do you have questions about money, real estate, or our local economy? Then don't miss the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, Saturdays at 3 p.m. right here on AM 1090. You'll get all the information you need to know about what's happening in your local economy and the Seattle real estate market. Learn how to take advantage of that knowledge with expert advice and insight on how money and our local real estate market really works. We'll give you all the tools you need to make informed decisions, whether you're investing, buying, or selling. Listen to the Money Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m., right here on AM 1090.
Baseball, the national pastime. It's basic, simple. In a time when, for a lot of Americans, many things are not. Your local Allstate agent can help make things a bit easier by saving you money on car insurance. Right off the bat, safe drivers can save up to 25%. Are you in good hands?
Get big league insurance for less. In Seattle, call Allstate agent Brett Stenmo first. Discount subject to terms and availability. Discount amount subject to change. Actual savings vary. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Do you currently own a home with a lot of equity? Have you thought about using some of that equity to buy a rental property? Have you ever considered using real estate to pay for your child's college education? Kim Thomas has helped many investors buy income-generating properties, and her expertise is number one in the field. There's a difference between agents who simply sell real estate and those who commit to whatever it takes to serve you beyond your expectations. Kim has been selling homes for over 20 years and takes pride in knowing that her clients receive unparalleled attention in all aspects of the buying and selling process.
Hi, this is Kim. If you would like to learn more about buying and selling homes in today's market, you can call me at 206-601-4969, or you're welcome to reach me online at my website at www.thomashomeguide.com. Again, my direct line, 206-601-4969. And my website is www.thomashomeguide.com.
This is the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on AM 1090. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Dina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on AM 1090 every Saturday at 3 p.m. You know, the purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-776-1090 or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090 or online at themoneyhour.com. Our first guest today, Tina, is Kim Thomas. And Kim has been selling real estate for over 19 years and has been with Windermere in the Madison Park office since she started. She has been one of Seattle's top real estate agents and truly has her finger on the pulse of the market. Kim is also the president of the Sheridan Beach Children's Hospital Guild. She's married with two boys who are 6 and 10 years old, and she has a great website at www.thomashomeguide.com.
Kim, we're excited to have you in studio here today to talk about the investment opportunities. I mean, our local real estate market, there are some awesome deals out there. Why don't we just start out, Kim? Why would you encourage, if someone's listening right now, why would you encourage for them to buy a rental property or even purchase maybe as a primary home?
Well, thank you for having me, Mike and Tina. You know, there has never been a better time during my generation to buy real estate. It's a perfect storm in a good sense because interest rates are at their all-time low. Real estate values are down to 2004, 2005 prices in and around King County. There have never been so many short sales or foreclosures that allow for some extremely good deals for buyers.
Kim, have you heard what other analysts are saying about the market lately?
You know, let's talk a minute about someone who's a very smart man, Warren Buffett, the Great Wizard of Omaha. He recently appeared live on a CNBC show. During the interview, he was asked about the current real estate market and whether he felt now was a good time to buy. His comment was this: if I had a way of buying a couple hundred thousand single family homes, I would load up on them. He also goes on to say that if he was an investor that was a handy type, he would buy a couple of homes at distressed prices and find renters. He also thought it's a leveraged way of owning a very cheap asset now, and that it's probably the most attractive investment you can make in this current market. You know, over the last couple of months, there have been more and more financial analysts coming to the same conclusion. It's time to buy real estate.
You know what, Kim? Good thing he's not here buying our real estate. Thank goodness.
So there's we'd all be out of jobs.
There's enough opportunity out there for some of our listeners.
I know. And it's getting tighter and tighter.
Yeah, no kidding. So Kim, why Seattle? Why this area? Why now?
Well, in my personal opinion, there are three variables right now that make for a strong reason to buy in Seattle: jobs, vacancy rates, and interest rates. For starters, the job market here is good and getting stronger, as we know. We have companies like Boeing, Microsoft, Amazon. They're all hiring. And those folks need places to live. Many will need a nice home to rent. Another good reason to buy an investment property right now is that the vacancy rate is extremely low.
Mm-hmm.
There are not enough homes to rent. You know, you have to keep in mind that many of the folks that are losing their homes to foreclosures, short sales, or bankruptcies, they're all very good folks. Many of them are families and have unfortunately fallen on hard times. Mm-hmm. These good folks need a nice home in nice neighborhoods close to good schools. The third variable are the low interest rates. They're unbelievable, as you guys know. You can now borrow money with 20 to 25% down on a 15 or 30 year mortgage, non-owner occupied, with rates as low as 2 to 3.5%. And actually cash flow these homes.
And I think that's a huge point, Kim, to bring out. So I want to mention that again. If you're listening right now, this is the best opportunity and a time to get into the rental market. When rates are so low, just as Kim says, rates are low, prices are low, that you literally can get into an investment property and be able to cash flow. So what that means to you is the renter, the tenant, actually is paying for that mortgage completely. So then the appreciation is just extra money that you're building. And I want to mention, I've mentioned this before, that I am so passionate about real estate. And the reason why, it's the only investment opportunity that you have that you actually can have somebody else pay for it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anything else. You can't go out in the stock market and ask some consumer to just pay for your stocks.
That's a good point.
Right.
It is an amazing opportunity to get into the market right now.
Yeah, and here's another unique thing too, Kim, that you brought up, is that this is a really unique time to own real estate as investment because of the quality of renters that are now in the market mm-hmm. that were never there. I mean, let's face it, some of these new renters have been homeowners for 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, they haven't been in the rental market for a long, long time. So what does that mean to you as an investor that owns these properties? Well, you've got a really high grade of renter that is renting your home that's going to treat it like their own home. I'm sure you can speak to that. I know Andrew can probably speak to that later in the show, but it's just very unique. We've never seen this before where that opportunity is there.
Right.
So Kim, do you feel that Seattle has hit rock bottom?
Ooh, I love it when people ask that question. What do you think, Kim? What do you think?
Well, you know, Mike, who can really say if it's actually hit rock bottom? I can tell you that there is certainly a shift in the market. The Seattle area didn't get hit as hard as some of the rest of the country, and many analysts believe that the Seattle area has hit the bottom, and once that happens, prices start to go up. You know, the Seattle Times and the Northwest MLS recently said that the median price in Seattle has gone up over 10%.
So you heard it here. Right here on the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, you heard it. We have probably gotten pretty close to hitting bottom. What that means is now we should be in position that we might be able to see some recovery in our local real estate market. So, Kim, what other examples do you have to share that are indicators that we may have possibly hit bottom here in Seattle?
I was actually just in a multiple offer situation last week where there were 7 offers on a Seattle home. You know, this is starting to happen all around King County. Another example, I had several investor buyers that came to me at the beginning of the year wanting to buy up rental properties. One in particular said that he wanted to purchase up to 30 homes this year.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So I promptly went out and scouted out an area up in North Seattle and found like 33 properties on the market. This was back in January. They were all under 300,000 with loads of potential to become a good rental. Many actually were under 200,000, but by March there were only like 5 or 8. It seemed to happen overnight. Word got out that there were some great deals. Folks felt the prices have come close to hitting rock bottom, and these homes started to get snatched up.
So from February to March, it went from 33 to 8.
Yes, and I just looked the other day, and there were like 2.
Wow.
So they certainly are being snatched up.
So there you go. There's a call to action, Mike. I mean, if you're listening right now and you have any accessible cash that you're not sure what to do, get it into the real estate market. I will continue to always say that you can't lose money in real estate unless, this is key, unless you're forced to sell in a bad market. The only people that are going to lose money in this market right now is they're forced to sell. As long as you hold on to the property, we follow historical trends, the real estate market will always recover. Get in now while you have the opportunity if you plan on holding on to the property.
And Kim, by the way, for that client that you had that wants to purchase 30 homes this year, just know that I happen to know a couple good loan officers that might be able to help that guy out.
Yeah, probably.
Certainly.
Does he need some financing, Kim?
Yes, he does. Yeah. And I will certainly call you both.
So is it too late? Have investors missed out on the opportunity?
You know, it certainly is not as easy now finding these great investment homes. You really have to have someone like me who has their finger on the pulse of the market and out there on a daily basis, literally, so you don't miss a great deal. There are still areas in King County where you can buy a cute little home under or near $200,000, which can easily pencil out.
So if you're listening today, you want to get a hold of Kim directly, you can reach her online at thomashomeguide.com. Again, that's thomashomeguide.com. And always you can call the show 1-888-776-1090. Mike and I'll get you directly in contact with Kim. That's 1-888-776-1090. So Kim, you had mentioned to Mike and I before the show that we're becoming a rental nation. Could you please elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. You know, Tina, right now, Generation Y, also known as the Echo Boomers or kids born in the 80s who are 70 million strong, many of these folks are facing a very tough job market. They may still be living in their parents' homes and out there looking to move out. Unfortunately, unlike Generation X, these kids may only have a job that lasts for 2 years. They need to be mobile, which means they're not necessarily in a position to purchase a home, but instead will need a good rental. Many may not have worked at their current job long enough to get a loan. Another reason we've become a rental nation is that it's much harder now to qualify for a mortgage, as you guys know. The underwriting standards are so extreme now that everything has to be backed up by facts, job longevity, and higher credit scores. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, foreclosures, bankruptcies, and short sales, they've made the rental market even stronger because these good folks with families need a nice home and a good neighborhood to rent.
So Kim, what about buying a rental for a child's education fund? I've heard a lot of that, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
One. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because let's go back 15 years. If you had $40,000 to invest in your child's education and you had purchased stock back then and it had just matched the Dow today, that $40,000 would be worth approximately, you know, $80,000. If you had taken that money that had invested in Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, your $40,000 would be worth about $125,000 today. Now, if you would have taken that $40,000 and invested in a rental property 15 years ago, you could have purchased a home for about $160,000. And according to Case Shiller, which is the most highly respected authority on home prices, as you know, that $160,000 home would now be worth around $300,000 to $400,000. And if you had bought that on a 15-year note, you'd own that home free and clear.
I don't know if that's a call to action or not, Mike.
I think it is.
I think it's a pretty darn good call to action. Again, if you're listening, you're not sure to do with your what to do with your money, now is an awesome time to get into the real estate market. Reach out to Kim online, thomashomeguide.com. Again, that's thomashomeguide.com, or call our show, 1-888-776-1090. So, Kim, do you mind me asking, personally, yourself, are you into rental properties?
You know, yes, I have been, and I actually own a home in the Seattle area, a neighborhood called Wedgewood. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area, but I bought that home 15 years ago. I paid $161,000 for it and lived in it for about 3 years. I have rented it for the past 12, and my tenants have actually been paying off my mortgage ever since. My mortgage,
nice.
Yeah, my mortgage is about $1,300 a month, including taxes and insurance, and I currently get $2,000 a month. However, my dear friend, Andrea Jacoby, recently told me that I'm a bit behind the times. It could be getting actually $400 a month more.
Wow.
I know. So, but you know what? I love my tenants, and they've been there for over 3 years, and they take very good care of my home. It's not worth losing them by raising the rent. So because of the equity I have in that home, which I would say is now worth $475,000 to $500,000, I've been able to use that money to invest in other properties. I intend to hang on to this home to help with my boys' college education. That will be coming up in the next 10 to 12 years. Not to mention that if they actually go to the UW, they'll have a place to live. That is, if I, you know, want my own college kids living in my rental property.
That could be interesting.
That, yeah, may not happen.
And so I thank you, Kim, for sharing a personal story. Sometimes when you're listening, if you can have an actual example of how these numbers come out, especially right here in somebody right here in studio, I do want to mention, because I think what a lot of times comes in is people think, you know, the crisis that we're in, people are losing properties, a lot of rental properties are being given back to the bank. And let me tell you why that happened. The reason why it happened is because people got greedy and they got stupid. What they did is they leveraged property that they had, meaning pulling out equity that you have in your home to go buy another property. Leveraging, you have to be really careful when you do that, because you have to be able to afford not to have to pull out additional money out of the property to support the new rentals. And so that's what happens. You really can do this safely. You're not going to pull out cash out of the property until you have enough to come in with an investment on a new property that's going to cash flow. So just a word of caution there, a word of advice, and as well to let you know that there's not a lot of risk in it if you do it safely.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of rate of return can an investor expect when they're going to go look to buy rental properties?
Well, that's a tough question. It can be all over the board. That is why an investor needs to sit down with a professional real estate agent like me. A buyer needs to have the right set of tools. In my arsenal, I have an investment spreadsheet that clearly calculates the rate of return on an individual piece of property every year for 30 years out. There are so many variables. For example, do we think prices will go up or will they go down? What is the vacancy rate? Are we going to hire a professional property manager? There are about 20 different variables, and if an agent doesn't have this spreadsheet, you really shouldn't be working with them. The spreadsheet that I have was developed by Windermere and is the best one I've seen out there. You should be looking at a minimum rate of return of 7% or as much as 14%. But again, every case is unique.
Yeah, and I'm a spreadsheet gal, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Oh, you are.
Numbers gal.
Absolutely.
Then you would like
you have
mine.
To you do, and that's a good point, Kim. You really need to have somebody to look at the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. The numbers are either green or they're red. That's what I always say with my mortgage clients. You just look at the numbers. If they're green, it's a good investment. If they're red, they're not. And you got to make sure that you're plugging in conservative numbers to make sure that those numbers are making sense. So in closing, Kim, what does an investor need to know about buying rental properties today?
For starters, this is a buy and hold philosophy right now. This is not about flipping homes. This is a long-term hold, not a get-rich-quick plan. Many of my investors who are buyers purchasing on a 15-year mortgage plan, if done right, in 15 years, the renter will be paying your mortgage for you, and you'll actually own the property outright. I would also advise that you work with a team of experts, a professional real estate agent like me, a good loan officer like you guys, and a smart professional property manager like Andrea Jacoby. She'll be speaking after me, I believe. If you make a smart purchase and use the right people, you'll end up with a good tenant, that will be making your payments for you.
It sounds like you feel pretty strong, obviously, about using a property manager. Tell us about that real quick.
The importance of hiring a property manager is crucial. A bad tenant will make a good investment go bad. Andrea will talk about how she screens tenants and how she determines the rental price of a home, etc. You know, before I even make an offer on a property that my client and I have located, I have Andrea come out and do a market analysis on the home to tell us what she thinks the home will rent for. And then I sit down with my personalized spreadsheet and run all the numbers for my clients so that this property pencils out. You know, Mike and Tina, at the end of the day, if you have an opportunity to purchase a rental home, if you have some cash laying around, now would be the time to invest in a rental property. Don't wait. I mean, I'm already seeing prices starting to go up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kim, thank you so much for your expert advice and coming in studio today. And thanks to both of you, because we're all missing the Husky game. Gosh darn it.
That's right.
It's playing right now
True
and we're
commitment.
Missing it. So thank you so much for coming in, Kim. Look forward to having you back in studio again, hopefully soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
I would like the folks who are listening today to please join Kim for an engaging evening in October with a panel of experts who will share the most up-to-date information in the local real estate investment market. For more information, please contact Kim Thomas at kimrthomas@aol.com. Don't forget the R. One of the things that we would like to mention is that Kim not only specializes in buying investment homes for her clients, but is also an expert in buying and selling primary homes as well. Kim would be more than happy to do a free market analysis for your home if you are thinking of selling. She is excellent at helping sellers prepare their home to put it on the market. If you are a buyer, she can also help educate you on the process of simply buying a home.
Financial freedom occurs when your annual investment income exceeds your annual lifestyle expenses. We're talking today about the opportunity of building wealth in real estate. And next, learn how someone else can take care of the management side of that property for you. Coming up next, Andrea Jacoby with Windermere Property Management.
Do you have questions about money, real estate, or our local economy? Then don't miss the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, Saturdays at 3 p.m. right here on AM 1090. You'll get all the information you need to know about what's happening in your local economy and the Seattle real estate market. Learn how to take advantage of that knowledge with expert advice and insight on how money and our local real estate market really works. We'll give you all the tools you need to make informed decisions, whether you're investing, buying, or selling. Listen to the Money Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m., right here on AM 1090.
Do you currently have a home on the market that is not selling? Are you relocating and need to find a renter for your home? Andrea Jacoby has been with Windermere Property Management Seattle for 15 years, and she takes pride in helping sellers and investors manage their properties. If you're looking for expert advice on how to manage your rental properties, Andrea Jacoby is the number one expert in the field. To learn more about managing your rental properties in today's market or to view current properties for lease, go to WindermereSeattlePM.com.
Hi, this is Andrea Jacoby. If you would like to learn more about managing your rental properties in today's market, you can call me at 206-227-5803 or reach me online at ajacoby@windermere.com. That's A-J-A-C-O-B-I at windermere.com. Again, that number is 206-227-5803 or ajacoby@windermere.com.
Now, back to the Money Hour on AM 1090 with your host, Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on AM 1090 every Saturday at 3 p.m. The purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-776-1090 or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090 or online at themoneyhour.com.
And Mike, who's our next guest in studio today?
Well, our next guest is a longtime good friend of mine, Andrea Jacoby. And Andrea has worked for Windermere Property Management as a property manager for 15 years. She has an unparalleled track record for single-family home management. Her workload consists of tenant placement and ongoing monthly management for homeowners and investors who don't want the burden of landlord responsibilities. Andrea has an impressive portfolio, as I mentioned earlier, of managing over 110 properties, and I hope to find out how she actually does that. She's a native of Puget Sound who grew up on the east side and then moved to Seattle 20 years ago.
Andrea, thank you for being in studio.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to hear how you manage 110 properties as well. What a superstar.
she talks
really fast. So it's been a great day. I mean, we had first Kim in here to talk about the opportunities in our local real estate market for investment properties and really learning to delegate. Has anybody heard that before? The best results is when you can delegate. Well, Andrea can help you delegate on property. So what would be the number one reason that you would say, Andrew, somebody that owns real estate, why would they hire a property management company to manage their tenants for them?
You know, using property management mitigates risk. It gets rid of the risk of fair housing claims, decreases owner liability, and may even discount landlord insurance by having a property management company involved. Another reason would be just our knowledge of the market and the rental rates. We've spent extensive amount of time drafting documents that pertain to local and state laws and are constantly up to speed on new ones. We have every document and tons of resources needed to protect you and, quite frankly, your rear end.
I like that.
That's good.
Our background checks are extremely thorough. We do criminal, civil, credit, rental references, if they have them, and verify employment and income. Our knowledge of landlord-tenant law is also a huge one. We completely try to take the worry out of the whole process.
So I would ask if a self-employed, if you were talking with a self-employed consumer, somebody that owns their own business, do they do their own taxes or do they hire a CPA? That's all I have to say. If you own real estate, you kind of own your own business. You want to hire a professional to make sure that they're managing that investment for you.
Yeah, that's right. Who would have the time to deal with that? And I've talking to investors before they got into the market, that was their number one fear, right? It wasn't the actual investment itself.
You're right, Mike.
It was like, God, am I going to have the time to handle dealing with this property? And what if the toilet breaks? And what about this? And how do I screen the right tenant? And what if they don't pay? So, and I know Andrew's going to touch on all of that. But, who typically uses property management? Andrew, who's your typical client?
You know, I find that there's three types of people who generally look into property management. Investors who are looking to invest but don't want the responsibilities of being a landlord. Relocating homeowners who need to rent their homes out since they'll be away. And sellers whose homes don't sell and then they've decided to rent until the market turns around.
So, Andrew, what about cost? If somebody were listening right now and they own a rental property and they're doing all this themselves and they're like, you know what, it might be more efficient and be a better choice to hire somebody professional, what type of cost are they looking at?
Well, we have two services we provide. One's just a tenant placement where we charge 1 month's rent to place a tenant. And then there's a full management service which we charge 10% a month on the monthly rent.
Okay, so when you're talking with Kim on the investment side to find that right property, you're just going to work in that 10%. That's part of the cost of that investment, correct?
Correct.
It's all about the numbers.
But on the first option, that's kind of interesting. So let's say I'm an investor and I'm a handyman. I mean, I like to fix stuff. I might use you.
Because you're a guy, Mike.
Guys, I'm a guy.
Always want to fix stuff.
Right. And so I might want to use you just to help find the tenant, run the credit check, run the income, the background, screen them, get them into the property. But then from there, I would take it from there, so to speak, in that example. Is that right? So do you have clients that do that?
Yes, we do a ton of just tenant placement, which is our lease-only service.
Okay. So what is the rental market like right now, in your opinion?
It's been an amazing summer. We haven't seen rents like this in a while. It's definitely a landlord's market.
So compare that. Let's give the listeners an understanding of really what's happening right now, Andrea. Let's compare it with previous years, comparing right now to previous years in the rental market.
Well, for instance, I've had houses that have rented for $1,800 the last couple of years and are now up at $2,200.
Unbelievable.
I have other homes that were around $2,200 getting $2,650 now. I saw an increase in rents from about $300 to $500 this summer.
That's what Kim had touched on actually earlier when she mentioned that she had a property that she's probably renting for $400. Too low.
Less than market.
Andrea, in this market, do you expect multiple applications on properties?
Yeah, but if it's priced right at the market rent, you will narrow down the amount of applicants applying and get the right person for your property without having to weed through too many.
So when you're choosing through those multiple applicants, what are the criteria that you're looking for, Andrea?
You know, we're trying to choose the most qualified tenant for the property within the guidelines that the owner has set through a tenant criteria form. Following all fair housing laws, of course. We've set guidelines we used. For example, they must have good credit, good rental references, and we recommend that the tenant makes at least 3 times the monthly rent to qualify.
So how long does it take to usually find a tenant in the market right now?
I usually tell my clients in between 1 to 4 weeks, usually less than 4 weeks. Our homes are priced right to find a qualified tenant and to limit vacancy, especially in between tenants.
So, Andrea, let's talk about the advertising for these properties. What are the most efficient ways to advertise for rental properties?
Well, we use various forms of media. We have our website, of course, Windermere website, the Northwest MLS, and good old Craigslist. Not to mention our sites get sweeped from Zillow, Postlist, and Hotpads as well. We also work with a ton of relocation companies that come to us first for searching for rentals for their clients.
So if you're listening and you want to get some advice on whether or not it makes sense for you to hire a management property management company or just get some tips from Andrea, you can email her at ajacobi, that's A-J-A-C-O-B-I at Windermere.com, or always you can call the show at 1-888-776-1090. Mike and I can connect you directly with Andrea.
So how do you determine price exactly?
Yeah, you know, we provide comps just like an agent would if selling a house. Mm-hmm. We do a comparative analysis, and most of it's on the knowledge of the inventory that we've recently rented.
Makes sense.
So Andrea, tell our listeners, what are some of the typical questions that you would get from a homeowner who wants to rent out their home?
The main one would be, what can I get for rent? Who can I expect to rent to? How long will it take? How do you screen your tenants? Where do you advertise? And how can you reassure me my home won't get trashed?
Those are really good questions.
So Andrea, what can an investor, homeowner, do to protect their home? Do you give any sort of like guarantees? How are they protected with this investment?
Number one would be to hire a property management company, of course. I think having someone who specializes in this field helps the whole process, from finding renters to doing inspections and making sure the tenants are taking care of their property. We cannot guarantee the performance of a qualified tenant, but we can guarantee our performance.
So, Andrea, I know we talked a little bit in the beginning about this, but can you kind of refresh our listeners? What is a typical tenant?
I would say 50-50 are locals in Seattle who are looking for rentals, and then tenants relocating to the area for work. The last two summers, I have rented to tons and tons of Amazon relos that were working with relocation companies.
So are those short-time renters, or are they staying in these rental properties?
No, they're long-term. I mean, 99.9% of our leases are 1 year.
Okay.
So they're looking for long-term. And then, I mean, after that year, they'll generally buy, and I'd refer them back over to Kim Thomas.
So I have a quick question. So if somebody's willing to do a 2-year lease instead of a 1-year lease, do you find that a lot of your investor clients would reduce the rent if they were to get a tenant in there that's willing to sign for longer?
Absolutely. And this summer I've seen more people doing 2 more leases, I think, for stability, but also for the homeowner. They would definitely do a reduction in rent just to not have that turnover in a year. Because every time you turn over, there's maintenance, there's, you know, the cost of having to hire me again to find a new tenant.
Right.
Sure. And Andrea, what about just like in other investments, there's better times sometimes during the year to actually go out for that investment. What about tenant? Is there a better time to find your tenants or to put your home on the market?
Summer months for sure. Our busiest times are June through August. You never want to have a winter vacancy.
And why is that?
Well, because most people are not moving during the winter unless they have to. So your pool of people is much smaller to choose from. And
okay.
Your rents are down because it's not as competitive.
So that's really funny that you say that, Andrea, because it's different than real estate, because on the real estate market, the busy time is around after the holidays and in those colder months, because mm-hmm. they're starting to prepare for the new year. So it's funny how with rentals, it's actually different than it is with homeownership.
Yeah. And I know you just mentioned this earlier about your typical lease seems to be, you said, about 99% is for a year.
And lately, we've definitely seen more 2-year leases.
2-year leases, okay.
Yeah, happening.
But what kind of deposits can you expect these days? Or I guess, what kind of deposits are you asking for?
Generally, it's first, last, equal to 1 month's rent deposit.
Mm-hmm.
If the homeowner is going to allow a pet, we generally try and get at least $500 more tacked on top of the deposit.
Makes sense. No, so let's talk about the tenant doesn't pay. When you have a property management company that you've hired, how do you address and how do you handle that issue?
We start the eviction process, and I have honestly only had one eviction in 15 years. By properly screening tenants, this rarely happens.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's in 15 years?
In 15 years.
So there, that's why you need to delegate and hire this out. I mean, if you have an investment, it's worth that much money. You have that much potential income coming in. A lot of people that are in buying investment, you're buying it with those numbers and not having too much preparation in having that property empty for too long. You need to hire somebody that's going to manage that and make sure that people pay on time. And it's definitely worth the investment.
If you do the math, the numbers are this, is that, you know, if you're paying $2,000 a month for your mortgage payment on this investment property, and of course your fee would be $200. Well, if I'm an owner and I miss out on the opportunity to rent my property out, that means I got to cough up an extra $2,000 because the property didn't get rented. Well, if I would have worked with somebody like you that would have got it actually rented, that savings right there almost pays for your fee for the whole entire year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what happens when they break their lease? You know, they have to, for whatever reason.
Well, a tenant's generally responsible for the rent until a new tenant is found and also pays for the costs that are incurred in doing so per the lease. The landlord does have to make reasonable efforts at trying to find new tenants to release them from their lease, but they are responsible until a new tenant is found.
So legally, or it goes on, does it affect their credit? I mean, how do you...
Not if we can release them from their lease.
Okay.
So if they break their lease and we can get a new tenant in there, you know, right on top of when they would be leaving, there's no penalties to them other than the cost that, you know, of having to hire us to find a new tenant.
Well, let's say worst case scenario, they break their lease and they move out of state and they stop paying. How are you guys holding them accountable to still?
Then we would go after them. I mean, you know, with collections and,
okay,
you know, small,
yep,
claims court, depending on how much they owed.
Okay.
But generally, they don't just stop paying rent because it's a big deal. I mean, it does go on your credit, and it affects your rental references.
It always shows, too. I mean, if people are going to be delinquent on something, chances are they're not going to be delinquent on the roof over their head,
mm-hmm,
right, where their family lives.
Especially when mortgage companies are requiring verification of rents now.
Absolutely.
Right,
yep.
Right. So it all kind of goes back to the beginning. It's all about that upfront screening process.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrea, what if a homeowner is made a decision to rent their property and they change their mind and they actually want to? And there's a lot of reasons, especially in this economy. You may find people selling their primary, moving into one of their rentals, or how does that work?
You know, unfortunately, the lease is ironclad for the tenant. So the homeowner's kind of backed into a corner if they want their house back during.
So they got to go rent themselves.
Yeah.
You'll find them a rental property.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times they'll buy them out of their lease, or giving them a good deal or incentive to move out is about all you can do. But otherwise, the lease is ironclad.
So do you have an in-house maintenance team within Windermere to take care of, you know, all the various problems that could come up with the property?
Maintenance issues. No, we've built relationships with companies that we've learned to trust. If an owner, however, has their own people that they're comfortable, we will use them as well. Otherwise, we have a team that we work with, but not within our office.
And I know that some people might ask, you know, is that part of also how property management makes money in getting these bids? Is there a percentage that you're paid for putting those contacts together, or is it just that's, you know, you help out, but you're not necessarily paid for it?
That's just part of the 10%.
It's all included.
It's all included.
Okay.
So Mike had mentioned in your bio that huge amount of people that you manage in your portfolio. Can you tell me how in the heck do you do that, Andrea?
Well,
that's a lot of tenants to manage.
It is. I would say the average property manager has 70 to 80 properties.
Okay.
I have an assistant who helps me with all the details, and leasing agents who actually show the properties, which gives me more time to focus on the new owners and investors and deal with things more on the management end.
So if somebody's listening today and they want somebody to help them out, you're absolutely focused with those new clients because you've got the team behind you to take care of everything that's in your portfolio.
Absolutely.
So do you also sell properties?
Oh, no. We stick to what we are good at and leave the selling to agents who know their end of the business. We also don't like to step on the toes of agents who have been a huge referral basis for us, like Kim Thomas.
That's right. Good old
so
Kim.
So when they're ready to buy, they're going to go back to Kim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lesson be learned, Kim. So when you are ready to kick your tenants out because you're now high school kids that are going to be going to college are going to end up renting your property, it sounds like you got to give them some notice.
Right.
So, Andrea, it might be helpful for somebody that's just tuning in right now. We're talking with Andrea Jacoby, and she actually represents property management for Windermere. And we're talking about the reason why if you have an investment in real estate, you've made the decision to get into the real estate market as an investment property, why would you hire and pay somebody, which we've talked about, it's 10% of that rent typically is what the cost is going to be. Why would you do that? Can you walk through just briefly the bullet points again of what that service entails and what you're providing for a owner of a home?
Again, we have two services we provide. There's the tenant placement, which includes all the advertising, tenant screening, document signing, moving condition reports, and then also take pictures at that point. And then we'll pass off the keys, help set up the utilities, and then we'd pass the tenant on to the owner. The full management part of it is where we do the collection of rents, any maintenance issues, you know, the tenant calls us. We do usually twice a year inspections at all properties and do drive-bys to make sure, you know, yards are looking good, all of that. The owners get a monthly statement each month just to show if there was any activity on the property. Hopefully there's not. Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah. I am the eyes and ears for the owner so that they just do not have to be involved at all.
I love that, Andrea. So let's kind of bring this to if you rent $2,000 a month to have you manage the property, let's say it was 10%, so that's $200 a month, correct? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay, so would it be worth it to you for $200 a month on a $2,000 investment that you have coming in, a company that's going to actually find you those tenants and not just find a tenant, but they're going to be a qualified tenant that have the knowledge and the understanding of how to get this together? Because I don't know if you're a normal homeowner or consumer out there, you don't know how and you can't even have access to pull credit. So you've got somebody that has the knowledge and how to screen these people. On top of that, the marketing to get those people, the cost associated or the cost and the time it would take to actually market those properties, that is taken care of by Andrea and her company as well. Collecting the rent, I don't know. I don't want to be out there collecting rent. So acting as that collecting portion to bring that income in. And if there's any issues with that income coming in, you're resolving the issue. So, I mean, that's a wrap up of if you're listening, you have rental properties, you don't have a management company. Andrea, someone's listening and they want to get in contact with you. How do they reach you?
You can reach me at ajacoby, which is AJACOBI at Windermere.com.
You can always call our show at 1-888-776-1090. Again, that's 1-888-776-1090. Mike and I will contact you directly with either Andrea or Kim, our first guest on investment.
So in closing, I just wanted to thank you guys so much, Kim, Andrea, for your time. It was great to have you guys in here and really appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you very much for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for the girl power, you guys.
Yay.
And next week in studio, local real estate expert Jerry Bucola and local financial expert Mark Peterson. You won't want to miss out on next week's show.
This is Mike Mercer signing off for the mortgage diva, Tina Mitchell.
And this is Tina Mitchell signing off for the mortgage master, Mike Mercer. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you again for spending your Saturday right here with us on AM 1090 to listen to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer. Talk to you next weekend. Thanks, everyone.
Lights go out and I can't be seen.